Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Paul O'Connell, a travel editor of independent.ie. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to talk about Irish lakes today, and I think lakes in a way can be even more magical in winter. Apparently there are 12,000 lakes in Ireland, Paul, meaning everybody has a lake somewhere. What was your local lake growing up?
That's a fact. I've learned this week about 12,000 lakes. Yeah. So I grew up in Ballinasloe, County Galway. We don't have a lake, we have a river, the River Suck, which goes to the Shannon, which goes to Loch Ree, just above Athlone, which is how we would have viewed it growing up. And so that would have been our local lake, a big lake. And I do have a memory that when we were in, now this is going back, in transition year in its early days, myself and a couple of friends, as our project, got these fiberglass molds to make kayaks. Yeah. And we spent weeks sort of painting the resin onto the fiberglass and watching them hatch out of the molds. And there was duct tape involved, etc. And the life jackets we got were like something off the Titanic. But anyways, I do remember one day we were over at the lake at Hudson Bay there, and we set them into the water and paddled out. Now, came back in before it got too wet inside the boats. But in the lake offshore there, there's this thing called Hodson's Pillar, which is like a little folly or round tower kind of thing, yeah, on a little island. And it's supposed to be the geographical centre of Ireland. So we were kind of relating those things. We'll see if we can get to the centre of Ireland. We never got that far, but yeah, exactly.
And you see the kids now, we say to them, in our day, we used to build our own boats. You don't know how good you have it.
Well, do you know what's there now in Hudson Bay? And this will give you an example of that leap. There's an activity centre called Bay Sports, which is one of the biggest inflatable water parks in Ireland. So when the season comes, they literally blow up all of these slides. You throw on the wetsuits, you bounce from one to the other, you slide down into the lake. And off season, they have saunas and they have the hot tubs. So it's like none of that was there back in the day. But it really speaks to, I suppose, how the tourism and the technology has evolved, that you can have the crack like that these days.
So Loch Ree is a good example of building lake tourism.
I think so. Yeah. Like since I've been growing up, you have the Hudson Bay Hotel has evolved. You have the Glasson Lake House across the road, which is by the Dean Group. It has its outdoor pool and its kind of funky outdoor hot tubs, and it's dog friendly and all of that. So it's all stepped forward a chapter or two. But the same token, if you take a boat out onto the lake, you can still find these little islands where there's buried under the long grass of these old stones and chunks of monastic ruins and sort of the husks and remnants that go right back to, there were Vikings on Loch Ree, there were monasteries there. It's what, like when the Shannon used to be the motorway of its day.
Okay,
it's almost like this body of water, when you go onto it and you get off the mainland, you're sort of connected to the history and the layers of time beneath us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to overthink it, because sometimes you're just
kind of mystical, like, aren't they? Like, and they are kind of magical, like.
Yeah, they can be, and sometimes really literally, like in Glendalough, you have this postcard image of Ireland with the round tower and the lake in the background and the hills rising up either side around it. So, and I do think you don't have to be religious to get a sort of a feel a bit connected about that or feel a meaning in it, but it's also just beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. You see, the monks knew where the vibes were. You were down kind of vibing off a lake recently yourself, weren't you?
I was in Guggenbarra.
Yeah.
You'll know this, being from County Cork.
It's an extraordinarily peaceful place on the right day. Like, there is a special peace there.
Yes, you come off the Oar Road, you go down about 2 kilometres down a smaller road and turn a corner, and you're into this little breathing bowl with the mountain, the brown mountain rising up behind the lake. It's a small lake. There's one little 3-star hotel there, the Guggenbarra Hotel, run by the same family for 5 generations. And I arrived midweek when I was there. It was late August, early September. Brendan, I could sit looking out on St. Finbarr's Oratory, taking pictures of the reflections, and I'd say about 2 cars drove by me. It was just extraordinary. You can go on down to the Forest Park there with his walks, and it's actually where the River Lee rises. So it's a little glacial lake. It's not a monster lake. You don't see cruisers going up and down it, but it's just, like you said, it's kind of soulful as well.
Yeah. So in general then, what kind of tourist amenities are the lakes kind of developing around them? Like, so there's walking, kind of jetties, that sort of thing?
That sort of thing. And you'll find like Lough Derg would have a visitor experience destination plan where it's trying to build the communities and stretch the seasons around the lake. And it like it has, there's the UL Activity Centre there. There's a boat, James Whelan down there has a boat that does more genteel cruises on Lough Derg where you can sort of sit and listen to the commentary and have a drink as you go. It's very different to sort of getting out splashing in the kayak or the sup. And then there's blue ways. You've heard of green ways.
Okay.
So blue ways are basically trails that run alongside water, and the idea is there's walking, there's cycling, but also there's places where you could launch a kayak or you could get the stand-up paddling going. And one of them actually on the Shannon there up near Drumshambo has on Acres Lake, there's actually a floating boardwalk. I don't know if you've heard of or seen that.
I think I saw it on the news. Yeah. They opened it. It looks fantastic.
It's really lovely. It's only 600 metres long, but there's again something about, and it's kind of, it's anchored with these concrete pontoons, but it itself is floating. You're maybe a metre above the water as you're walking out. And it does feel like you step off the mainland for a bit and you kind of arc around into the water. And so you could see the birds and the wildlife either side, and it connects with walking trails. I remember I took a stand-up paddleboarding trip with a local company there, Leitrim SUP, and we were paddling down along the canal towards the lake, and the guy on it, Lee, came up with this word because it was like the trees were coming in above us and there was no sound of traffic and it was so remote, and he said, I call this the Drum Shamazon.
And then for Dublin people, Blessington Lakes is kind of accessible. There's a lot going on out there, yeah.
Well, super accessible. It's like Vartry. The Blessington Lakes, you'd be there on a good day without the traffic in a half an hour from Dublin. And it's was filled, you know this, by the ESB back in the 1940s. So it's wonderful to look at. People who live nearby go boating and kayaking on it and whatnot. But you can also, there's another adventure company nearby, CP Adventures. I went on a rib tour with them there. Great crack to go out on a rib boat. But almost more memorable is the chats you have with the guide along the way. And he was telling me about the actual farmsteads and the houses that are submerged under the water.
Okay, yeah.
So suddenly, when the water level is low and you can see a little building poking out of it, it's almost like a skeletal or ghostly. And you're brought back then to thinking about these communities and what happened and how has the landscape changed around it. So it's a really interesting amenity, but quite off radar. That part of Wicklow is much less well known than the likes of the National Park and Glendalough.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a visit.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Lough Derg there. That's not the Lough Derg where people go. There's two Lough Dergs, right?
That's right.
Not where people go to start.
You have your shoes on at the big one and the shoes off at
have
the
you
other.
Ever done the other Lough Derg?
No.
Is it still going, yeah?
No, and I was thinking about it during the week and wondering, would I go? And I thought, I'm not religious, but there's something about sort of giving yourself over to a weekend of that and just getting out of your comfort zone and immersed in this and wondering what's it all about. And I wonder, have you done it, by the way?
No, my mother used to do it and she was always trying to get me to go with her, but I never did. Now, I didn't. So bare feet, you stay up all night one of the nights, and I think black tea and toast was always available.
That's traditionally what I know. I don't know if it's changed.
People walked around various various kind of constructions and intoning the rosary and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could see that coming back in for people like in a secular way, a bit of punishment.
Oh, totally you could. Yeah. And as a journalist, I'm quite curious about that and what it would make me feel and who you would meet. And it's like going on the Camino, I think, in a sense that you don't necessarily have to be spiritual or religious, but it's you're almost buying yourself time. And everybody is going, okay, we've left the 9 to 5 behind and we're on something else here, and it may not be we're going to find God, but sure, we might find something.
No, you know what? It was all you said about meeting people. It was always about the other people and their stories. Everyone was there for a reason. And they were in this liminal space where they all opened up and talked to each other and stuff or whatever.
And in travel, you know, these days, a lot of people are talking about that you're not buying a city break or a ski trip or whatever activity it might be, you're buying time. Everyone seems so frantic these days, but it's a good opportunity to just block off those few hours or that week or whatnot. But all over the island, Scattery Island in the Shannon Estuary is another one with monastic ruins. You can take a boat out there from Kilrush. You may see dolphins along the way. There's another island called Devonish Island in Loch Earn near Enniskillen, which is the same. I have that same sense when you go out on the boat. It's like you break this connection and you get the fresh air in your face and you're bobbing up and down. And then you step onto this island with a big round tower rising up in front of you. And it's like you've gone back in time.
Tell the Lakes of Killarney.
Yeah.
If we don't mention them, there'd be war on the text. But they do kind of come into their own in autumn, winter as well.
Oh, autumn is my favourite time there, I have to say, because the crowds of the summer are wearing off and everyone in Killarney is breathing a little bit and sort of coming down a gear after the summer. And the colours are like this quilt thrown out on the mountains. There's, if I'm not mistaken, it's the rutting season. Valerie O'Sullivan, the photographer down there, has taken some beautiful pictures of it at this time of the year. And the Lakes of Killarney are super accessible. You can go out on a boat from Roscastle, you can walk alongside them, you can cycle, you can take a jarvie, you can hike, you can drive the loop. And it is, they're hackneyed and stereotyped as we talk about them, but each time I go back and drive or walk alongside them, you just go, oh wow. You know, this is like the pages of National Geographic in front of you. And I do think autumn is a beautiful time to go.
Yeah. Loch Ennell then, the murmurations.
You're covering great ground here. And the more I think about the lakes, the more I think about what a kind of untapped
resort
there.
Americans are great at going to the lake, like, but we need to develop that culture a bit
they
more. Because we're also near the sea, maybe, a lot of us.
That's true.
The Midlands crowd have to do with lakes.
They do, and there's a new tourism strategy being launched Monday, and Ireland's Hidden Heartlands will be at the a big part of it. But Loch Ennell is, and I drove by it during the week, Loch Ennell near Mullingar, but the fascinating in wintertime because of the starling murmurations. Between January and March is the good time for that, and you'll always see a front page photo on the Times or the Indo of this. But basically,
do they guarantee a show? Like the whale watching?
I've gone out to see whales so many times in my life and I've never seen one from a boat, but you are more likely but not guaranteed, let's say.
Okay.
But there's a whole thing around it. There's a local hotel called Bloomfield that even has a package where they'll you get your B&B and a lunch, and they give you a picture and a book about it and a hot chocolate to take out and try and see them. So January to March anyway, if you want to see them is the
Listen,
time.
That was a great bit of lakespiration there. Now I'm going to start paying more attention to lakes, and I might come back. There's a lot of lake texts,
brilliant.
We'll come back to that.